I'd like to speak to you very briefly from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. It is generally reckoned that 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. It is also generally reckoned that he is in prison and he is awaiting death. Whether he has been released from prison at Rome, travelled to Spain and then been imprisoned again, been sentenced, I'm not sure. But the evidence is that this man is awaiting death, expecting death very soon. Chapter 4, verse 6, he says very clearly, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure, his death. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and so on. But the time has come for my departure. That's not the only thing that's going through this man's mind at this time. This is the background to this letter. Paul is suffering. Verse 8, he tells us, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. He's in prison. But join with me in suffering for the gospel. Suffering. Verse 12 of chapter 1. That is why I am suffering as I am. Chapter 2 and verse 9. I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Chapter 3 and verses 11 to 12. He speaks about his sufferings and persecutions and so on that he'd had in the past and how God had rescued him. Yet, in fact, he says in verse 12 of chapter 3, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Yes, this man is suffering. He's in pain. He's in prison. He's also lonely. Verse 15 of chapter 1. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. These two and others, everyone, he says, in that province had deserted him. Chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Do your best, he says to Timothy, to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Cretans had gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. He only had Luke left, as he says in verse 11. He's facing death. He's facing desertion. Everyone has left him. He remembers in verse 16 of chapter 4 that everyone, when he stood to be for his defense, everyone deserted him. He knew that Christ stood at his side, but everyone had deserted him. And he also, verse 14 of that chapter, have met strong opposition in this man, Alexander. That's not all. Several times in this letter, the apostle writes, prophesies of the appalling course, spiritual course of this age, the last times. The last days means the days of the gospel, from the resurrection of Christ until the coming of Christ. And as he says in chapter 3 and verse 1 and on, there will be terrible times throughout this age. There will be times of blessing, no doubt, revivals and awakenings, yes, but the general course will be terrible times, and he describes it. Again, in chapter 4, he comes back to it. The time will come, he says in verse 3, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They won't want the gospel. They won't want the truth. Instead, they'll want preachers who will preach to boost and bolster their carnality and their itching ears. They'll want to hear what they want to hear and nothing else. Chapter 2 and verse 17. He speaks about teaching error spreading like gangrene. Well, that's quite a catalogue, my friend. Here is a lonely, deserted old man, chained, in anguish, in pain, in suffering. He's getting old, as I say. He's feeling the cold. In chapter 4, he asks, in verse 13, Timothy to bring the cloak. Why does he want a cloak? Because he's cold, my friend. Because he's cold. William Tyndale, I believe, when he was in jail in Belgium, awaiting death, suffered from catarrh in the cold, the winter. And I believe that he asked for a light, if he could have a candle. In Belgium, in the winter, the day gets dark, the night comes, say about 4 in the afternoon. And it'll be dark, say, from 4 in a dungeon. It'll probably be dark from about 3, maybe half past 2, right through to 8 or 9 the next day. And Tyndale asked for a light, a candle. He spoke of the lonely, long, dreary, wearisome evenings in the dark. And of course, he wanted to go on translating the scriptures. He wanted to go on with his Hebrew and his writing. Calvin, when he reached his end, was in a terrible state physically, but still professing Christ, of course, to the very end. But the point about this old man is this, that he is lonely, deserted, awaiting death. He's facing apostasy, error, opposition, teaching which is error, spreading like gangrene, and so on and so on and so on. The days of Ecclesiastes 12 have come upon him. If you read Ecclesiastes 12, you've got to see the picture of language. We can't see so well. The cataracts have come. We can't walk so well. We can't taste. We're losing teeth and all the rest of it. This is the picture of old age and loneliness. But it's not Paul's picture. It's the truth, but it's not Paul's picture. I said I was going to speak on chapter 1 and verse 3, just briefly. And this is the point I want to make. I've laid in the background because it's here. But what does this man say? I am cynical. I am bitter. These young people are nothing. And so on and so on. Is he bearing grudges? You will find Mark is mentioned in chapter 4, verse 11. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me, to my ministry. And yet Mark had deserted him at one time and gone back. This man is not bearing grudges. He is not bitter. He is not cynical. What's the secret of this? How can he say in verse 3 of chapter 1, I thank God. In all this loneliness and old age, in all this suffering and pain, he could still thank God. He could still rejoice in God. Indeed, he's talking, if you read it here, about his ministry. I just quoted about Mark here in verse 11 of chapter 4. He is helpful to me in my ministry. He still got a ministry. When he asked for the cloak, as I mentioned just now, in verse 13 of chapter 4, he wanted the scrolls as well, and the parchments. He might be about to die. He might be in prison. He can't preach. But as he wrote to the Philippians and said, although I can't preach, I rejoice that Christ is preached. He wasn't bitter. What is this man like now in his sufferings, in his old age? Is he cynical? Is he bitter? Is he switched off? He still has a ministry. Indeed, my text, chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve. He's an old man, lonely, in prison, rejected, seeing blackness all around him. No. He rejoices. And he's thankful. And he's still serving God. Why? How can we know that? Well, he's writing this letter for a start. And he, being dead 2,000 years later, is still speaking. He's doing something for Christ while he can. The night is coming when he cannot work anymore. But he has light today, and he will work as long as he has light. This man has joy. As he says in Acts 20 and verse 24, that I might finish my course, run my race, and finish it with joy. How does an old man, lonely, rejected, despised, cast off, in prison, unjustly, going to be put to death, a horrible death no doubt as well, suffering in that Roman jail, how can he be rejoicing? How can he be glad? How can he be confident? How can he be thinking of the future? How can he be doing anything worth anything? What's the secret? Well, I thank God. Can I be more precise? Well, you've only got to run down the book and see. He's already spoken of grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me just run down briefly and pick out some of the leading thoughts here. Paul, what gave you this joyfulness? What gave you this thankfulness? How were you enabled to have any purpose in life? You're old, you're not cynical, you're not bitter, you're not bearing grudges. What's the secret? Verse 7, God did not give me a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. How did you get it, Paul? Well, how about verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1? Join with me, he says to Timothy, in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. God who has saved us and called us, yes, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Paul, what's your secret? I'll tell you my secret, he said. It is Christ Jesus. Christ makes all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. The Lord Jesus Christ, he being my Savior, my Lord, my King, my all. All things I can endure because Christ is all to me. Verse 9 of chapter 1, Christ Jesus. Verse 10 of chapter 1, the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. You can see it also in the word Lord. But look how you see Christ Jesus. I just picked that out. Verse 13 of chapter 1, love in Christ Jesus. But as I say, you'll find the word Lord coming. And that's speaking of Christ very often. Chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul, what's the secret? I've known Christ Jesus. I've known his grace. I've known his love. I've felt his blood washing away my sins. He has walked with me and he has talked with me. I have his spirit. Chapter 2, verse 3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's all Christ, you see, my friend. Verse 8 of chapter 2, remember Jesus Christ. Get your mind upon him, Timothy. This is what Paul himself is doing. It's dark here, but I can see Christ by faith. My sight might be failing. My powers are going. My opportunity is gone, you might think. They've robbed me of everything. They've robbed me of my liberty, my physical liberty. But I still have liberty in Jesus Christ. How about verse 10? The salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And so it goes on, my friend. Verse 15 of chapter 3. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Just before in verse 12, godly life in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, and so on and so on. It is Christ Jesus, my friend. This is this man's secret. It isn't his money. It isn't his power. It isn't his health. It isn't his reputation. It isn't his popularity. It isn't the things he possesses. For he's lost all these. He's lost his friends. He's lost his liberty. He's lost his health. He's lost his opportunity. But he still has Christ. And Christ has him. This is a challenge to me. At the moment, I still have reasonable health. I still have opportunity to preach and write. I still have liberty. But what if all around my soul should give way? Have I got Christ? For if I have Christ, I have all. My friend, the world has only things, power, possessions, money, travel, physical indulgence, and so on and so on and so on. But Ecclesiastes 12 again, the time will come when all these will go, all of them. What then? What then? Martin Lloyd-Jones used to say to ministers, what will it be like when you can't preach anymore? This man, Paul, can thank God because he has Christ. Believer, am I speaking to an old believer at the moment? Are you infirm? The outward man is perishing, isn't it? But is your inward man being renewed day by day? Are you still living upon Christ? Are you still trying to serve Christ? Paul was still trying to serve Christ. Maybe by prayers, maybe by writing, maybe by conversation, whatever it might be. Do you still want to serve Christ? Or are you crabby and bitter and cynical and critical? Be rebuked, my friend. Be encouraged. Christ is still your Savior. And there is a crown waiting for you, my believing friend. As Paul said himself, in chapter 4, and he says in verse 8, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Are you a young believer? You will get old too. You will need your Zimmer too, if you live long enough. You too will be maintained by medication, like we are. You too will need your cataract operation. All your powers and strength which you have now will fade and drop away. You may even lose friends. Live for Christ, my dear young believer. Live for him every day. Walk with Christ. Cultivate Christ. For when all around your soul gives way, unless you know Christ, you will have nothing then. But if all gives way and you have Christ, you have everything still. Ecclesiastes 12 again. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before these old times come, before these aging comes. And what if I address an unbeliever here? What have you got, my friend? Maybe you're a young unbeliever. You're fit and strong. You've got a great career, hopes and prospects. Yes, you've got it all. But it will all fade. Vanity of vanities, says the book. Vanity of vanities. All is empty. You'll find it so. All is transient. All is fading away. Your life is like a vapor. What then? You'll get old too. And you will die. What then? Learn from Paul. What is the secret, Paul? What is the secret of life? What is the secret of living well in old age? What is the secret of dying well? What is the secret for eternity? There is only one secret, he said. It is no secret. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, for it is Christ Jesus who is the secret. I thank God. I want to finish my course with joy. Why? How? Because I want to serve Christ and love Christ and know Christ. Why? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me. He died for me. He became poor that I might become rich. And though I'm in this jail, though I'm on the verge of death, I still will serve him. Because I know that though outwardly I am poor, yet inwardly I am rich beyond all computing. This is not a challenge to us all, and a comfort to all believers, and an encouragement to us all, if we are believers. Unbelieving friend, trust the Lord now. Now, even as I speak to you. And believing friend, look to Christ. Christ is all and in all, in life and in death, and forever.